ते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter number 64, and text number 22 onwards. Etasmin antare yamaihi dutaihi nitaha yamakshayam yamena prishtaha tatra aham deva deva jagat pate etasmin antare yamai dutair nito yamakshayam yamena prishtastata tatraham deva deva jagatpate etasmin antare yamai dutair nito yamakshayam yamena prishtastatraham deva deva jagatpate etasmin antare yamai dutair nito yamakshayam yamena prishtastatraham deva deva jagatpate opportunity. Yamaihi of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Dutaihi by the messengers. Nitaha taken. Yamakshayam to the abode of Yamaraj. Yamena by Yamaraj. Prashtaha questioned. Tatra there. Aham, I, Deva Deva, O Lord of Lords, Jagat of the Universe, Pate, Master. Translation and purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Universe, the agents of Yamaraj taking advantage of the opportunity thus created, later carried me to his abode. There Yamaraj himself questioned me. Purport. According to the acharyas, the king's performance of fruitive activities had previously been flawless. But now an inadvertent discrepancy has arisen. And so when the king died, the Yamadutas took him to the abode of Yamaraj called Samyamani. Yamaraj said, my dear king, do you wish to experience the results of your sins first or of your pious or your piety? Indeed, I see no end to the dutiful charity you have performed or to your consequent enjoyment in the radiant heavenly planets. I replied, first, my lord, let me suffer my sinful reactions. And Yamaraj said, then fall. At once I fell, and while falling, I saw myself becoming a lizard, O master. O Keshav, as your servant, I was devoted to the Brahmanas and generous to them, and I always hankered for your audience. Therefore, even till now, I have never forgotten my past life. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse as follows. Since King Nraga openly declared that he had two outstanding qualities, namely, devotion to the brahmanas and generosity. It is clear that he possessed these qualities only partially, since someone who is truly pure would not boast about them. It is also clear that King Nraga considered such piety to be a separate goal, desirable for his own sake. Thus, he did not fully appreciate pure devotional service to the Lord. Lord Krishna had not been the only goal of Nraga's life, as it was for Ambarish Maharaj. Even in this stage of regulative practice, nor do we find that King Nraga overcame obstacles like those Ambarish Maharaj did when Durvasa Muni became angry at him. Still, we can conclude that King Nraga was able to see the Lord for some reason or another. He must have had good quality of sincerity desiring Lord's association. Srila Prabhupada confirms the above analysis in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the whole, Nraga had not developed Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person develops love of God, Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities. Therefore, he is not subjected to the results of such actions. As stated in Brahma Samhita, a devotee by the grace of the Lord does not become subjected to the resultant of reactions of the fruitive activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers the following commentary. When Nraga mentioned one who has hankered to have your audience, he was referring to an incident conquering a certain great devotee King Nraga had once met. This devotee was very eager to acquire a temple for a most beautiful deity of the Supreme Lord, and he also wanted copies of such scriptures as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Being very generous, Nraga arranged for these things, and the devotee was also satisfied that he blessed the king. My dear king, may you have the audience of the Supreme Lord. From that time, Nraga desired to see the Lord. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunathantam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitascha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Sri Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Sri Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Etasantmin antare yamai duter nito yamakshayam yamena pustastatraham deva deva jagatpate. O Lord of Lords, O Master of the Universe, the agent of Yamaraj, taking advantage of the opportunity thus created, later carried me to his abode. There Yamaraj himself questioned me. Yes, everybody has to go to the abode of Yamaraj to give an accountability. And here we see how complex the karma is. It's not that whatever we desire, it will manifest. Why bad things happen to good people? These are certain puzzling questions. Even the religionists quibble. Here we see acharyas are also differing with some context that they must have conquered in the past. King Nruga was pious, but piety does not qualify one to have audience with the Lord. Where are the merits of pure devotional service? Krishna is telling, I am not exposed to anybody and everybody because I am covering myself in yoga maya. He says that I will be available in the degree of one's surrender to me. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tams tatheva bhajamyam mama vartmanu vartantes manushya partha sarvasa. Everybody is compelled to act under the laws of material nature. That compulsion is on us. We are not free. We may desire, and we are free to desire, but we are not free to act according to our desire. And if we act, then the result is not according to our desire. So much complicacy is there. There are five reasons in getting a result, not one. Yesterday we saw that this King Nruga was giving in charity the cows because he wanted to serve the Brahmanas. Anybody who wants to serve the Brahmanas, they are pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord Himself is the protector of Brahmanas and cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitayaj. But this foolish piety of giving charity of the cows and thereby, you know, creating the social issue of prestige, profit and adoration, that these Brahmanas quarreled because one of the cows already donated to one Brahman wandered around in the herd and King Nruga gave it again to somebody else. So this quarrel has created the confusion. And these Brahmanas, they themselves did not satisfy, neither the king, who was much more inclined to redeem himself of this mistake by giving 100,000 cows in place of that cow which is already donated. This precarious condition led King Nruga to stand before Yamaraj, because that is an advertent opportunity. It is not in the control of Nruga, even though he was pious. He had to face this question. So we see that Yamaraj is asking him that every act of endeavor which is covered by the faults, which is covered by the fault in Kali Yuga, however planned your actions would be, because of our imperfect senses, it is not supposed to be perfect. However planning you may do, there is advertent, inherent fault in it. Therefore, out of the four defects, that is to imperfect senses will lead one to conclude also imperfectly. So he commits mistake, He is prone to be illusioned and he lies. King Nruga tried to avoid lying. Right? Yes, yes, I consider it might be. But I am giving you in return 100,000 cows. And that Brahman was so much glorifying his position, which is not of devotional service. This Brahman says, even if you give me 10,000 more than 100,000, I will not accept your offer. Go to hell. Right? What kind of you? You are a thief. You stole my car. So, even of the slightest provocation, which is comparably, you know, in it's nothing. But because the nature, Mother Nature, is very stringent in making us bewildered in the pursuit of our spiritual emancipation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing this peculiarity, you know, of advertency. In chapter number 13, text number 21, again 21 is that, right? But this is 22, okay. Where the nature, the enjoyer and consciousness is analytically described, Krishna is telling, Karya karana kartutve hetu prakriti ruchyate, purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktutve hetu ruchyate. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effect. Whereas the living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyment in this world. The body, which is manufactured by prakriti, Mother Nature, she doesn't manufacture the soul. So she overpowers that tiny living entity within the body, who out of misidentification with that material nature, he creates, means he becomes the cause of various suffering and distresses. The enjoyment also. It is both false. The sense of enjoyment in this material world or the sense of distress, both are on the false platform. The living entity is the cause of thinking that, because of his misidentification with the material body. Because he is attached and he forgets, means he is ignorant about his reality. So, the coming and going nature of the material world itself, which is called Jagat. Ja means Janma, Gat means gone. It does not belong to the soul. But yet, the soul, while entering into the Jagat, animates it. This soul, Krishna says, is my part and parcel. And that is of a superior nature. Regardless, by entry into this material manifestation, he sustains for some time these activities. Aparemitastanyam prakriti viddhi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. Dharyate means to uphold, sustain. Living entities are coming and going, you know, and they sustain. But they also become the cause of so-called happiness and distress. For the soul there is no birth, no death. So why should there be any distress and happiness to him? But yet he has come out of his envious, ignorant mentality to enjoy in this material world. So who is to be blamed other than himself. So he is the cause of his own happiness or distress. But both are fantasies. Both are phantasmagorial in nature, means imagined. It is not factual. So the idea here, if we get into King Nraga's dilemma, he is describing that seeking that opportunity of disagreement between the Brahmanas, you know, I came to the end of this existence, you know, and I was carried away by the Yamadutas. And there Yamaraj himself asked me, what do you want? Do you want to enjoy the results of your pious activity first or sinful activities? It means one doesn't counteract other. In Hindi we say, so chuhe markar billi haj karne ja rahi hai. Do you think it will be good? Counteract means after killing 100 rats, the cat thinks, let me go on pilgrimage to counteract all it. So any good activity is going to bear the good result for the ignorant person. And any bad activity is also going to result in bad reactions for it. But both are supposed to be enjoyed. The pain is to be also enjoyed and pious results to be also enjoyed. So-called happiness. Which one you want first? No counteracting. Our bank account, in ordinary banks that we have, that we deposit money, that is the credit. If we take out, that is the debit. And the balance will be there. Right? But in karma there is no such balancing out thing. If you credit, then you get credited. But if you do debit, you also debit. You want to go up, then do only one. You can't create a debit. If you create debit, you are sure to fall down. Falling. There is no balancing act. Sometimes they say, if you are able to balance your karma, you may come again in the human form of life. If you are able to balance, it is too difficult to balance. Because it's not your willful desire that, yes, let me do two sins and two pious activities and I'll balance. No. No counteracting like that. The gravity of the sinful activity, the quality of sin, everything has to be taken into account. So, both has to be, you know, considered. So what do you want, Yamaraj said? Do you want to enjoy the results of your pious activities? Yamaraj takes for granted, you gave so many cows in your life in charity to the Brahmanas. Alright? But there are also inherent flaws in it, for which you have to pay. What do you want? On this subject matter of this so-called balancing act, our previous acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, they are giving their opinion. Let's see. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse that since King Nraga openly declared, what kind of quality he is describing to Lord Krishna when he is narrating, that Yamaraj told me this. And he said, let me enjoy my sinful activities, reactions first. So Yamaraj said, okay, fall immediately. Don't wait for it. Finish it up. So here, when I fell, I saw that I was getting a lizard body. Because of my desire to have audience with you, so there is a thin line of distinction. Pious activity may not be the activity of pleasing Krishna. They are not direct. So on that subject matter, this particular commentary is saying that since King Nriga openly declared that he had two outstanding qualities, namely devotion to the Brahmanas and generosity, it is clear that he possessed these qualities only partially. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who is trying to glorify his own qualities, he is not glorious. He is puffed up. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtane sadahari. How could one get an access to Lord Krishna without serving Him directly? If this service to Brahmana is equivalent to the service of the Lord, then why would Brahmana quarrel and disagree and would not consider anything in the opposition of King Nriga? Rather, they made him victim to go to hell. Means these Brahmanas were not liberal. By somehow or another, they were not liberal. So, these qualities that he is boasting himself, they are partial. They are not full. And these qualities are, if not fully developed, means he is not a pure devotee. How could he say that? Since someone who is truly pure would not boast about them, it is also clear that King Nriga considered such piety to be a separate goal, desirable for his own sake. Hence, probably he wanted to enjoy happiness either in Swargaloka or Vaikuntha. But why he is, talking like that to Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? His abode is beyond the realm of the Vaikuntha planets in Goloka Vrindavan. And he is here in Dwarka and this incident is happening. So what is the merit of such audience? That is the question raised in the commentary of Srila Jiva Goswami. Thus he did not fully appreciate pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Krishna had not been the only goal of Nriga's life, as he was for Ambarish Maharaj. Now Jiva Goswami gives a comparison. The life of Ambarish Maharaj, who was a pure devotee, and King Nriga, an ordinary pious king. In his life there were no previous merit of pure devotional services. But still, this incident is happening in front of Krishna. Only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am, standing before you in my two-handed form, O Arjuna. Not only that you will be able to know me in truth, but also able to see me in truth, and you will be able to interact with me in truth. That is Krishna's declaration in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyatu ananyaya shakya aham evam vidho arjun gyatum drashtum cha tattvena pravishtum cha parantapa. So, if we see Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj was famous because he was always engaging all his senses in the service of Lord Shri Krishna. Even the king, he was doing all the activities, they were beyond piety. Savai manah Krishna pada arvindayo vanchamsi gunanuhara varanami. These are beautiful slokas given in Srimad Bhagavatam describing Ambarish Maharaj's activity, that he was always thinking of Lord Krishna. So one time he was performing Ekadashi, and the Ekadashi was going to be over the next day, so the Parana time, means breaking the fast, should be appropriately done in favor of the Lord's desire. But at that time, Durvasa Muni came just to put some obstacles in his path. That is karma type of thing. But look, a pure devotee and similar facing the adverted reactions, apparently. Durvasa Muni said, I will go to bath and then I will come. But meanwhile the time was lapsing, I was going to get over. So he consulted, Ambarish Maharaj consulted the priest. Then what should he do? After due deliberation they told him, then you can break the fast with water. Means it will be not breaking and breaking, consider. Because if you eat something, then naturally it will be totally broken, which will be offending to Durvasa, because you have to feed him first. But he's a muni, he's a whimsical guy, you never know, you know. But Durvasa Muni took this as an insult to him, even with water. So he plucked out of anger his hair and produced a demon to kill him, kill Ambarish Maharaj. But Lord Sudarshan Chakra also was released, killed the demon and started chasing Durvasa Muni. Right? And Durvasa Muni could not be given shelter. And Sudarshan Chakra's heat was burning him like anything that he could not tolerate. But he came to his consciousness and is speaking to even Vishnu Loka. He went and speaking to the Lord. Then, my dear Lord, looks like I have offended your devotee and even you are not pleased with me. And the Lord said, then get the hell out of here and beg his forgiveness quickly and save yourself. Otherwise, once released, Sudarshan Chakra will not come back without doing the job. So in this way, you know, Durvasa Muni had to go and beg forgiveness. Now, how Ambarish Maharaj was protected? And here King Nraga is not being protected. That is the difference of pure devotional service. But regardless, why Krishna is, you know, in front of this lizard, King Nraga, and he has still retained consciousness? So there is a thin line of, disagreement that you cannot compromise that anybody will be, you know, given the... No, that is Lord's jurisdiction. It is not devotee's jurisdiction. When Lord is pleased for performing certain... He may utilize any situation to bestow his mercy. Nayamatva na pravachanena labhya na bahuna sutenava. The Lord is not achievable through the Vedas. It is very difficult to find Him. So what to speak of? Speaking of the Vedas or knowledgeability in the spiritual life or even listening to many lectures. No. Yam Atma labhyate tam labhyate yena vivrunate swam. Unless and until he will be able to, he exposes himself on his own sweet will, then and then one achieves. Nobody can twist the hand of Lord Krishna, bribe him for audience. We try to sometimes, people come for darshan and Big Shot is emphasizing, I have come all the way, can I have darshan? There's a joke, and many people criticize because they don't understand this particular methodology. They think every god is same. In Shiva's temple, they never close down, right? Even dogs can go and sit. Even in the night, they take rest. The thieves also come and rest in, Shiva's temple because there are no gates, nothing. And here Vishnu is protected so much and curtains will be closed soon and what not. People come, said, what is this? I have come so many miles away and I have to go without darshan. That's wrong. So once upon a time, out of such disgust with the pujaris, one a rich man, he said, I want to chastise them. I want to bribe. So, he said, they give opportunity to those who bring money, they will open for them. And many a times people say that, yes, even if you go in Tirupati temple, unless you pay 250 rupees per ticket, you will have no first priority. If you give 1,000 or 1 lakh rupees, they will take you in right away, and have darshan. Otherwise you stand in line for 24 hours. So there are so many incidents. So this man wanted to chastise and expose a pujari who is doing like this. So he went in an ordinary dress. Can I have darshan? I have come so far away from you. Please. Pujari said, no, get down. Lord is resting. Okay? Not now. You have to come after 4 o'clock in the evening. He said, I have a flight to take or I have to go somewhere. And he said, no way. Then he changed the dress and came again with a suitcase with some money in it. Right? And he said, oh, great pujari, I'm in rush. Can I have darshan immediately? He says, no way, the Lord is resting. But I'm supposed to give this donation. The pujari says, oh, donation. Okay, I'll take you. And he had a darshan. But he would not give. Why are you doing like this? Exposed, caught red-handed. That you are taking bribe. When donation comes, you want to give us darshan, not without that. I said, what can we do? The pujari was smart enough. What can we do? If somebody comes without donation, we tell them no. But donation means Lakshmi, and Lakshmi has right to serve the Lord even though he's resting. Right? So like that. But naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. This is the principle. Krishna is not exposed to anybody and everybody because he covers himself. He covers himself under the veil of yoga maya. So, King Nraga was not fully appreciating pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Krishna had not been the goal of Nirga's life as he was for Ambarish Maharaj, even in the stage of regulative principles or practices. Nor do we find that King Nirga overcame obstacles like those of Ambarish Maharaj did when Durvasa Muni became angry at him. Still, we can conclude that since Nirga was able to see the Lord for some reason or other, he must have had the good quality of sincerely desiring Lord's association. There is some sincerity is still there, because he tells, even though in puffed up vocative aspect one glorifies himself, but there is some sincerity. So that could have been the cause that Lord Krishna is giving him audience. Srila Prabhupada is also confirming this analysis, that on the whole King Nirga had not developed Krishna consciousness. A Krishna conscious person develops love of God. Krishna, not love for pious or impious activities. Therefore he is not subjected to the results of such actions. That is stated in Brahma Samhita, a devotee by the grace of the Lord does not become subjected to the action or reaction of his pious or impious activities. It's beyond it. Karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindam adi purushottam. Otherwise, ordinarily, yastvendra gopa mathavendra mahoshvakarma bandhanu rupam phala bhajana matanoti karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Govindam adi purushottam. Right from the Indra Gop. Indra Gop is a very small, tiny, insignificant insect. And Indra means the king of the heaven. Everybody is coming under the action and reaction. But those who are devotees of the Lord, they can circumvent. And they are not subjected to the action and reaction. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti offers following commentary. When King Nirga mentioned one who hankered to have your audience, he was referring to an incident concerning a certain great devotee King Nirga had once met. Not him, but there were so many Nirgas before. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is telling that he must be referring to some other. This devotee was very eager to acquire a temple for most beautiful deity of Supreme Lord, and he also wanted copies of such scriptures as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Being very generous, Nirga arranged for those things. That is, he did direct devotional service, not indirectly, like this Nirga. But he was referring for somebody else, and he was applying for him too. Many a times, especially in the ladies, you know, out of sentiment, they prefer to have spontaneous devotion for the Lord. And they take example of Meera and try to think, oh, ab to mere giridho gopal. When anything advertent happens, then they say, ab to mere giridho gopal dusra no koi. But saying or believing or referring to an incident that gives a temporary dejection doesn't mean that is an act of pure devotion. Feeling is there. So in the same way, when somebody dies and man goes to crematorium, they develop an instant vairagya. When they see the burning body, they develop an instant vairagya. But instant vairagya means markat vairagya. A monkey is going to somersault, even if he becomes old, will not become, forget his nature. So, to develop instantly, spontaneously, such feelings of dejection, it is not out of pure devotion. It's circumstantial. Circumstances are the cause of material nature. But the enjoyment and distress is caused by the living entity. Because his ignorance is due to the attachment with it. Both have completely opposite constitution. How is that? It's just like water and oil. They never mix. You have to put your ignorance to emulsify and think you are, good. You are one. You are body. Means emulsification. You know the emulsification. Soap is when you wash your hands, soap is giving an emulsion. Milk is an emulsion. And the fat in the milk is under emulsification. But when you boil it, then it separates out. The emulsion is no more there. So, emulsification means attachment. Makes you think that you are one with the body. Even your constitution is different. And Krishna is analyzing in this particular chapter, 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that what we think of enjoyment and distress. It is said, Purusha prakriti sthopi bhunte prakriti jhan gunan karanam guna sangasya sadasadhyoni janasya. The Purusha, Purusha means the so-called enjoyer, the living entity. He is situated in prakriti, means inferior nature. He is superior nature, and inferior nature is prakriti. What he enjoys actually is a prakriti jhan gunan. The gunas, the modes which are born out of prakriti. He does not enjoy the object made up of matter. Rather, he ends up enjoying the modes. He comes in contact with the modes. Therefore, these modes dictate him to be pious or impious. Not anything else. I think this is an example I can give you. This is a glass of water. Prabhu asked me, Maharaj, do you want cold water or hot water? I said, cold is fine. It's not that cold in Melbourne anymore. But I'm holding and I feel it is cold. But who feels? And what is the analysis of it? I have my sense of touch. Alright? These senses are transporting the chit shakti. Alright? And that chit shakti or knowledgeability comes from me, the soul. But my hand is touching, means my senses are coming in contact with the object, which is also matter. And this matter is also made up of three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun and tamogun. And this combination, all the matter comes through. When you give heat, it will become hot, because mode of passion is hot. Cool, cold, ignorance. It's not mode of goodness. just to adjust to your normal temperature is all right, thinking it is pleasant. But this is artificial. The moors which constitute the water and my senses, they are material in nature. They come. Only the observer is me, and I am getting the knowledgeability through the spiritual potency which is called Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is spiritual in nature. I am spiritual in nature, yet I am coming into the contact. But because of my experience of the body, that cool is good. Therefore, I like to drink cold water. Have you seen people eating ice cream in cold? Many have had it too. It means what kind of more they have been overpowered by. Actually, I have nothing to do, but I am coming in contact with the objects of sense gratification. Therefore, it develops lust, desire. And it is registering in my brain and memory bank, you know, probably how many gigabytes I have. I don't know. So the idea is that soul has nothing to do with the objects of sense gratification. So what is good, what is bad, what is pious, what is impious? It is caused by the modes of material nature. And soul is being trapped into it. Soul is transcendental. That is its original nature. Spiritual in nature. Not material. So, under ignorance, we go through the results of those modes. Karanam guna sanga asya. Guna sanga means our association with those modes dictate us to get a pious birth or impious birth. Sad asad yoni sujanmashu. So in this way, you know, the analytical aspect of our action and reactions are described, which we don't have any control. But because of that ignorance, we think we want the result of our pious activity, but we may not be prepared to get the results for our impious activity. But when Yamaraj is asking, what do you want to enjoy? And that happened to even Duryodhan and Yudhishthir. You know, at the end of the war, Duryodhan was in Swargaloka, right? Enjoying all the Duryodhan. And he saw Yudhishthir coming from the hell. And he thought, oh my God, look at Yudhishthir. All this lifetime, he didn't tell a lie. He was so righteous. Everybody was so much affectionate to him, the most qualified person. Yet he had to go to the hell. Wow, I'm so fortunate. I'm so fortunate. And Yudhishthir was coming and said, look, how come you have to go to hell? Simply for one little lie you have said when Krishna told you? And Yudhishthir tell lie because you want to kill Dronacharya. Then Dronacharya will be disheartened when he hears that Aswatthama, his son, has been killed. But actually it's a lie. He was not killed. But if you say, because you are very righteous, you will not speak lie, he will take it for granted. When they question who Aswatthama, then you just say, Narova, Kunjurova, whether elephant or Man, who knows? But Aswatthama is king. That will dishearten, and then you shoot and kill him. Like that. So, for that little lie, you know, he had to go to Yamaraj. And he's coming. And Duryodhana was so much puzzled. And he was laughing and he was glorifying his good fortune. That look, I did such nasty things in my life. I was the most hated one. Huh? I tried to kill you how many times? All the five grams. All the way up to the end of the Kurukshetra war. Alright? Only Krishna tricked me. That's why I was dead. But see, because I was Kshatriya, real, I have attained Swargaloka. So, why did you have to suffer so much? Just for little life? That's not fair. Yudhishthira calmly, "Oh, I just went to see my father to tell hello and just came back." I did not suffer there because Yudhishthira was son of Yamaraj, right? But, you know, the same question he asked me when I went. He said, "What do you want? The results of your impious activity first, or pious activity?" But Duryodhana, I saw you in the list. They are waiting for you. Right? So this is the situation. And Duryodhana said, "Oh my God." So you can imagine what he has to go through then. So in this way, we see the karma is very complicated. There are five reasons for a resultant reaction. It's not simple like action and reaction. Throw the ball and it will come. It is called karma. No. There are five reasons. Many a times, you know, when a devotee suffers, why should a devotee suffer? He says, "Why not? They are performing karma. They have sanchit karma. They are burning their karma. So many things are there." So karta, the modes of material nature, then the place, circumstances, and then devam means supervision of the management, one gets the reaction. There are five reasons. Then I mean, one of that is time also. That is circumstances, the time. The five reasons are given. It's not a simple thing. So when we come across this kind of comparative situation, and then why one is suffering and not suffering and why not, many a times people get so much in confusion that they lose faith on the devotion or the Supreme Lord. They stop coming. I give you several examples. I was in New Vrindavan in 1985-86, we had a lot of friends and things. One of my friend was coming with the family all the way from Canada and traveling to the United States. And he must have traveled over 10 hours. But they preferred to drive in the night. But as soon as he came in the boundary of Vrindavan, which is, of course, hilly jungle, in the night time, because he was going with the flashlight, the deer and the jungle, they get scared and they come right in front of your car. But sometimes they attack also. So they entered in the boundary and within less than half a mile distance to the temple, and one deer came and banged in his car on the side as an attack. And he was so scared to death. You know? He said, I will go back. Krishna doesn't want me to come. And he left. And I was puzzled. He was a friend of mine. I said, what happened? He said, I will never come there. So, karma is there and he's taking toll of Krishna. What a gross ignorance it would be. Mm-hmm. Right? Another time, another friend, I know it, so many people, the whole family was coming and somehow that they met an accident. And there were injuries, but they scared them to the death and they never come. If something inauspicious comes while going to see Krishna, they take it is Krishna's desire. Means doesn't want us to come and see. Okay, Krishna, be there. We know you are everywhere. Why do we have to go there? So this is all mayavad, influenced by the modes of material nature. You know, they take. So there is even an apparent desire. But Krishna is teaching some special lessons about this particular incident. He has to deliver is one of the function, but to give us a proper understanding of his supremacy. So we will see further tomorrow. Anybody has any question or comments? Yep.
As you explained that pious activity like impious activity is made of that, but we also see examples of Bhagavatam where some austerity is also mentioned to counteract the impious activity. So what kind of austerity is that?
Which kind of this is not Karmakand. In Karmakand there are some temporary suggestions. But devotional service is not Karmakand. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not Karmakand. Rather it becomes an offense. No, but the counteraction. Counteraction comes only in Karmakand. Here Bhagavatam deals with pure devotional service, not Karmakand. In Karmakanda section, which leads to a certain counteraction, which was possible in certain ages, but up to a certain extent only, not full eradication. Nrsimhavaj Prabhu, we can tell. He is a Brahman, minister of deity worship. Can you give an example?
The conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of 6th canto, he tells that there is a way of doing some tapascharya by which the sinful...
No, that's something mistaken. Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, said, knowingly people commit sinful activities, you know, that leads them to total devastation. But by some piety, they will stop, they think, but they are unable to stop. There is no remedial measure. Why is it so? To counteract sinful activities. This is the question. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, and Prabhupada is telling, look at these people, go to the church on Saturday and beg forgiveness from the priest, you know, for their sinful action. And they go again and start doing. And every Sunday they come and beg forgiveness. Why people are compelled to do this? What is the reason? And what is the proper method? What is the possibility there? That was the question. So Sukadeva Goswami says, you are right. They cannot counteract and they eventually end up doing the same mistake over and over again. Because their prayaschittam. Prayaschit is the method. This is called atonement. Their prayaschit is not good enough. What kind of prayaschit is required to stop sinful activities? Yeah, but what does it do?
Krishna prema.
All the way directly.
In that verse that leads to from that conversation, Sukadeva Goswami said that upwards the reactions to even the
great. That's called prashchita vimarshanam. This word has been specifically used by Sukadeva Goswami that unless and until the method of atonement awakens the sleeping soul and brings him to the right constitutional position, that process, that is of pure devotional service. And that is chanting Hare Krishna. Unless and until the soul is sleeping under ignorance, what is there to cut the bondage of this material affection? That is chanting. Chanting is essential to keep ourselves always awake, alert about our constitutional position. Then and then we will be refraining from committing sinful activity. Otherwise, a thief knows that he will be punished, yet he will not give up the habit. What is his compulsion? Gambling is compulsion, you know. Engaging in all sinful activities over and over again, even though they generate painful reactions. Entanglement. Who is able to give up? Therefore, proper purificatory systems have been described. Unless and until one purifies what? That consciousness. Consciousness in ignorance is no consciousness. Consciousness is always alert. It is expressing even in the wrong medium, which is worth living. Even in the illusion aspect of material life, our consciousness is thinking that, yeah, I know. I'm an MA, PhD, I'm an engineer. I know. What do you know? I know. Yes, you don't know Krishna. You may know everything else but Krishna, your own reality. That you are part and parcel of Him. You are constitutionally identical. Only quantitative difference is there. So, an atonement that helps us to awaken our sleeping soul from the ignorance, that is real purification. And that will stop us. That will stop our even cycle of birth and death, which is due to ignorance. Yes.
The soul is eternal part and parcel of Lord Krishna, who is a fully knowledgeable person. But how the soul is ignorant, because Krishna is always present in the soul as well.
Ignorance means darkness. Right? Enviousness is also the root cause of ignorance. Envy, blindness, and envy can make you really blind. That is the cause. We are envious with Krishna because he is the only enjoyer, and we think, come on, Krishna, give me a break. I'm also enjoyer. I have come here, and now you tell me that you are not the enjoyer? No way. We struggle with Krishna. But we fail. And yet we want to struggle. So, okay, another birth.
Well, I was just wondering about the situation of this, what happened here. It's like the drink that he was giving charity, was that Karma Kanda? What he was doing? Because, this is sort of a passive question, because in order for him to get such a reaction from giving a charity to a Brahmana,
yeah, but not Krishna in mind. He didn't have Krishna in mind, according to Jiva Goswami. Yes.
And then the other part of the question would be then, is the situation of a Brahmana such that even if someone unknowingly commits an offence and the Brahmana is not that particularly qualified, as obviously these Brahmanas weren't, because they become very upset about an accident.
Right.
Is the situation of Brahman such that even if you unknowingly offend a Brahman, you get a heavy reaction like that? If you perform.
As far as pure devotional service is concerned, neither those Brahmanas nor King Nrga were qualified, because none has Krishna in the center. Krishna says that whatever you eat, whatever you offer as a homage, whatever you do, whatever you give in charity, offer it to me. Where was Krishna in such a situation? This was an act of charity, maybe in mode of goodness, but that's what we discussed. The mode of goodness, or charity in mode of goodness, is given for the material satisfaction. Sukha sangena badnati, jnana sangena chanagaram. The mode of goodness at least dictates the soul or binds the soul with the sense of becoming happy in the material world. In the material world. While spiritual happiness is its own prerogative, he is not taking that. So this act of charity, whether it's under karmakanda, but it is devoid of Krishna consciousness. Indirect. What do you say?
Well, I was wondering, because it seems apparent that the Brahmins weren't really possessing the fully qualified the Brahmins, because it was very attached, or like you gave my cow to someone else and granted virtue. And you know, if someone had actually been possessed the qualities of a Brahman as described by Krishna in the Gita,
that's correct.
Then they would have been very tolerant and forgiving. So I understand accidents happen. So what I'm wondering is, even if one is given to someone who's not a fully qualified Brahman, is the situation of a Brahman such that you inadvertently offend a Brahman, you get a good reaction for it?
But that's a choice of his niyamagra. He was so rigid. Rigidity comes and people develop standard, higher and higher standard, if they become more and more rigid. But that rigidity, which is not targeted towards Krishna consciousness, actually it is detrimental. It is an obstacle on the path of devotional service. That is niyamagra. To neglect the rules and regulations, as well as to overemphasize rules and regulations for no progress towards Krishna. Both are impediments in the devotional service. Right? So, these Brahmanas are fighting on Niyamagra. Maybe Niyamagra will lead them to so-called social prestige, adoration and distinction. These are the subtle desires. Otherwise, why would not they consider 100,000 better cows than that? They are not Surbi. If just for one Surbi cow, if both the Brahmanas are fighting, that's a different matter. But this cow was not Surbi. Remember how much Jamanagni Rishi, Parshuram's father, had to go through an ordeal for saving one Surbhika. Kartavirya Arjun, he stole it, then defiled Jamanagni's wife, and Jamanagni has to order Parshuram to kill his mother even. And out of anger, killed how many Kshatriyas, how many times from the surface of earth? Just for one Surbi cow. Here, there is no comparison to that. And Parshuram is none other than Shaktyavish Avatar of Lord Krishna. So we have to measure everything in terms of Krishna consciousness. All such activities, pious or impious. We can't evaluate everything is same. Otherwise it will be more confusing. It's good that our Acharya's commentaries are here. Yes.
In spite of being Krishna conscious, if a person commits some mistake or commits some sin, will he be able to go out from the cycle of birth?
No. How can? That's dead sure. No. There is no process in Kali Yuga present to become liberated, means get out from the cycle of birth and death. Only Mukunda is giving the liberation.
Yeah, in spite of being Krishna conscious, I want to ask you.
In spite means even though he is performing Krishna consciousness, he is Krishna conscious, and at the same time, then he has to suffer. He has to come back.
He is eligible for getting out from birth, this is all there.
Yeah, but as for example, Maharaj Bharat was very Krishna conscious. And only just simply thinking of dear and material attachment, a sinful activity for the soul, brought him back into the body of a deer. But he understood that mistake, even in the body of deer. And whatever Krishna consciousness he gained, he preserved it. So he got another chance as Jad Bharat, from the deer's body to human body back. And in Jad Bharat he decided never to get affected from pious, impious, or such conception. So he was living like an avadhuta, and he suffered at the hand of his brothers, neglected him, and, you know, till the thieves took him for the sacrifice for Kali. And Kali protected him. Right? And when Rahugan also took him for his service, you know, he was very conscious for the ends. But the Pala queen you know, disturb Rahugan. And at that time, Jarbharat, you know, spoke Krishna consciousness to him and educated him, made him disciple. So, one has to undergo, you know, the reactions of Paisima. But a Krishna conscious devotee facing such adversities, right, welcomes the adversities, because he is sure that after that he will be liberated. He considers it is mercy of the Lord that he got adversities. Queen Kunti is asking for it. We don't ask, Krishna, give me pain. I want to get out. Give me pain more. Right? Because we are addicted to the body. But that is possible.
Can Lord Shiva give liberation sometimes or no?
Yes, he is powerful to give you liberation. Only when you follow him. If you chant Hare Krishna along with him, good, you'll be liberated. But when you chant Om Namo Shivaya, he will not give you liberation.
Isn't it so that if a person is a Krishna conscious, at the time of his death, Krishna will come to him and be in his memory so that he will be in the Goloka Vrindavan after his death?
Krishna puts the onus on us. At the time of death, we have to remember him. Then we...
Isn't it mentioned in some of the holy book that Krishna will take care of the devotee who has worshipped him when he was like well in his health, and at the time of his death Krishna will not forget him and come to his memory if something happens?
Krishna is a baniya, let me tell you. He was born as a mercantile. He says in the degree of your surrender I will be available. You know, so, I did some activity in my young age. So Krishna, come.
What about Mahaprabhu?
Eh?
What about Mahaprabhu?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful. He will take you again into Sankirtan movement. Tell, okay, go and distribute the books.
Very powerful.
That's good, but it may take time. Right? Chanting once means how do you have to chant? There's a lot of difference in chanting and chanting. Yamraj will give you a chance to remain Krishna conscious, but if you don't want to remain Krishna conscious, even after one chanting, then do you think that chanting is going to help you? So there is a difference in chanting. Huh? How much trouble do we have in chanting 16 rounds? It is said, once chanting purely is good enough to go back home, back to God. That is the potential. But check out, our chanting is impeded by so many things. You have to work on it. Didn't Prabhupada said, however, the chanting should be like a genuine cry for a child for his mother. A genuine cry means what? Desperation. The mother knows this, because they are raising children. You know, children sometimes know the psychology of parents. They cry uselessly just to get their work done. And mother also knows. You know, such crying will bring only one slap on the child. Because it's not of desperation. The child is trying to make mother desperate. Right? So she gives him a big slap. Shut up. Thank you for coming. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada.